if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is where we will be at tonight, and we're going to be looking specifically at chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. So 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. I'll begin reading for us there in verse 1. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says there, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Tonight we're looking at a particular passage where Paul is writing this letter, and he is nearing the end of his life. He knows that he is coming to a close in his life. He is writing this while he is in prison. And so he's writing some parting words to young Timothy. He's writing some last words to his disciple in the faith. And one of the things that we're going to notice tonight is that really because of the importance of just preserving and passing on the gospel, you and I too must endure in the grace of God. Paul tells Timothy that, "Timothy, I want you to preserve the gospel. I want you to pass the gospel on, and we can do this because we live in the grace of God. We can endure in the grace of God." If I were to start tonight, I would simply just ask a question and really ask, what pictures maybe come into mind whenever you think of people that have been successful in just Christian ministry? What are some names of those that you might think of when I ask the question, who has been successful just in Christian ministry? We might think of maybe Billy Graham, so to speak, someone who was able to reach many, many people. I often think of Adoniram Judson, who's a Baptist missionary who served in Burma for 25 years. Adoniram was also someone who worked there in that country and did not see a convert until about 6 years after he was there. He faced intense hardship. He lost a wife. He lost several children as well. I also think of someone that maybe kind of sticks close to home as well as Thomas Helwys. We've kind of mentioned his name maybe a few times here at our church. Our denomination really owes a lot to him. He holds the distinction as being one of the first to give defense of just religious freedom in the English language. Perhaps there are other names that just come to mind, but I wonder what we might think specifically just about Christian ministry. Serving in Christian ministry. All of us are called to really use our gifts for the kingdom of God. Every single one of us tonight, if we declare as Christ as Lord over our lives, we are called to employ those gifts and use those gifts in the church, in the community, and in the world. And I wonder, do we see Christian ministry as something that is comfortable? Maybe do we see it as something that does not require heavy lifting? Do we see it as something that requires a lot of our time? Maybe think critically about how do we just view just the ministry that we've been called to. Certainly in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul gives us a number of images on how we should think about just Christian ministry. And the passage that we're looking at specifically tonight really speaks to endurance, carrying on that ministry that you've been called to. And he focuses on that word endurance a couple different times. And so he provides us with really three specific pictures of how we should model after in this endurance. Number one, he gives us a picture of a good soldier. Number two, he gives us a picture of an athlete there as well. And then the third image that we get is a hardworking farmer. And all of these occupations we'll break down and we'll look at tonight, but all of them give us a great picture of work, of discipline, and endurance, and even suffering as well. Later on in the next section, starting in verse 14, Paul's going to give us three additional images that talk about what a faithful servant should look like. And really all of these pictures that Paul is getting at here, he's just wanting to show you what it looks like to follow after the Lord. What does it look like to serve the Lord, maybe in vocational ministry, but also just in general ministries that we've been called to? And he's going to show us that it's not a walk in the park. It's not easy. It is hard work. But he tells us to endure, but also notice that there is just an emphasis on the gospel all throughout these 13 verses that I just read to you. And so because the gospel is so important for every human being in this world, that is why we should endure. We don't endure just to say that we endured hardship, or we don't just try to go through a tough battle just to say that we made it through that. No, we endure because of the gospel. It's the gospel that motivates us to go through these hardships. It's because of the hope that we have in the gospel that we can endure. We can't endure by just our own strength. We may be able to get by for a while, but you and I will not last long by our own strength. It's because of the hope, and it's because of the gospel that we endure. But there are four different responsibilities that you and I have that I think Paul is pointing out to us tonight. Number one, I think he's telling us that we should live our lives just in light of knowing the gospel. Notice verse 1 there. He wants Timothy just to know the gospel. Let it be embedded in his life, know what the gospel means. And he wants Timothy just to live his life day in and day out in light of the gospel and what it means. He told Timothy that if you're going to endure where you are at, it's only going to be because you were strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so he's urging Timothy just in the very first verse to live your life in light of just knowing the gospel. He wants his life day by day to just be an overflow of this relationship that he has with Jesus Christ. He doesn't start off there in verse 1 by just telling Timothy to just be strong. Make sure that you do these certain things or rely on your own strength. But instead, he says, let everything just be an overflow from just knowing the gospel. One of the fears that I often have, just personally, is to think that I can fool myself into thinking that I'm teaching this lesson or I'm preaching this sermon just because it's a Sunday, or I'm helping this particular person just because it's a Sunday. Or we might fool ourselves into thinking that I'm just opening my Bible today because it is just a Sunday. But these areas should be an overflow of our hearts from knowing the gospel. I don't ever want to fall into that trap of simply just getting by our own strength. But we want to let every area of ministry in our lives be an overflow of just knowing the gospel within your own heart. And the grace of Christ is something that empowers everything that we do. It's what gives you strength. It is what helps you to endure. And honestly, Paul is going to give us some charges here in the next couple verses. And he wants Timothy to know right off the bat that if you don't know the gospel, Timothy, if it's not on the forefront of your mind, you will not be able to be that good soldier or that athlete or that hardworking farmer. And so these charges need to be lived out in light of the gospel. And this is one of the more really refreshing things that I find about the life and work of Paul. He's always emphasizing the gospel because he never got over it. He never got over of who it was that saved him. He knew what he was like before he was saved. And he's always emphasizing the gospel. You don't have to turn there tonight, but there are two verses I want to highlight that really make this point other than 2 Timothy. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10, actually, the Corinthians tell us. They're describing Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. They describe Paul as his letters are weighty and powerful, but his physical presence is weak. And later in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul is writing, and he said, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Did you catch chapter 10? The Corinthians, they're being honest. Look, Paul, he writes some good letters, and his letters are weighty, but his presence is weak. Now, there are some other things that kind of tell us that Paul was maybe small in stature and that he was maybe not a very gifted human being. But the point being is that Paul was not a gifted person. But he tells us in chapter 12, look, I already knew I was weak. I didn't need the Corinthians to tell me that I was weak. He didn't need the Corinthians to tell him that he was not a gifted person. He already knew that personally. Furthermore, he also knew that God loves to demonstrate his faithfulness in the midst of his weakness. While his physical presence might have been weak, while he may have not been able to talk very well, we see Paul in Acts enduring afflictions all throughout the Mediterranean world. And he does this because he never got over the gospel. He's emphasizing it all throughout his letters. So how did he endure? It wasn't by his own strength. It wasn't by anything that somebody else helped him to do. No, it's the same way that he's telling Timothy to do, and that's by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If Timothy was going to survive as a leader here at his church, it was only going to be by the strength of Jesus. And I think the same is true for you and I tonight. How can you and I endure in this Christian journey? Our strength is not drawn from maybe how long we have been a Christian or how much we know the Bible, but our strength at this very moment on December the 11th at 6:27 p.m. is drawn from the grace of Christ Jesus, the same grace that Paul is encouraging Timothy to draw from as well. Our strength comes from this relationship that we have with him, and it's nourished each day that we spend with him as well. And so this is great news tonight. If you are here and you may be a little discouraged about maybe something that's going on in your life, or if you're discouraged, maybe something going on in your family or at work or whatever it may be, you are just the right candidate for grace. You are in the right spot that Timothy is feeling as well. Timothy is no doubt discouraged. And so Paul is writing these words and he's saying, it's okay. I know you're weak because I'm weak too. We are all broken. But the point being is that we are broken vessels so that Christ's power can be shown through that. And that when other people see that, they don't see our good gifts, but they see his strength and they see his faithfulness as well. So whatever discouragement, remember that there is a fountain of grace in Jesus. If you're looking for strength to endure, just look in the right place. Look to the right person specifically as well. It is those Christians who make an internal significance in this world are those who have really learned to rely upon God's strength in light of their weaknesses. And so not only this grace that comes with Christ Jesus, but we have also been given other just smaller means of grace to help us draw strength from the Lord. Notice many other letters that Paul is writing. He often starts his letters by saying, just grace to you. And so just by the very fact of you opening your Bible, you are hearing straight from the Lord. Grace to you as he's writing. So whether that be by personal devotions or just hearing the word being read, you are hearing the Lord speak to your life. And so one of the means of grace that we have been given is just meditating on God's word, studying God's word, trying to memorize God's word. Those are just other means of grace as well. So we want to live in light of the gospel. Another thing that Paul tells us in verse 2 is that we want to be passing this gospel on. We want to be sharing this gospel with other people. So after highlighting really the importance of just living in light of the gospel, he wants Timothy to know just how important it is to tell others and to pass on this gospel to others. I don't know who originally said it, but I often hear Dr. Aiken say at the seminary a lot that the gospel came to you on its way to someone else. You heard the gospel and you heard it taught to you, but it came to you on its way to another person. It is finding people, it is searching for people that are broken, and it came to you on its way to someone else. Therefore, we should always be sharing this good news that we have in our hearts. But notice just this process of passing on the faith that Paul wants Timothy to really realize there in verse 2. Notice that it was Jesus who gave Paul this message first. It was entrusted to him just through divine revelation. It wasn't anything that Paul came up with or Paul realized. And so it started with Paul, but then Paul passed this message on to Timothy. Timothy no doubt heard Paul preach the message of good news in churches all over this area. And so Paul was not only passing on the gospel to Timothy, but he was also modeling in front of him how to live as well. And then Timothy is now instructed to entrust this message to just other people. So it starts with Paul. Paul passes the message on to Timothy. Timothy is now instructed to pass this on to other people. And then finally, Timothy is instructed to pass on the faith to other men so that they may be able to teach other people. Did you catch that process there? And just think about just the implications of verse 2. How in the world did the gospel start in a place like Rome and it ended up on December the 11th, 2016, in Clayton, North Carolina? It happened because of verse 2. It happened because of faithful men that practiced verse 2. It happened of faithful Christians throughout the centuries that were determined that they were not going to let the gospel die with them. They kept passing it on, and they were going to continue sharing it as well. Now, there are many different applications that we can just pull from point or from verse 2. But understand that every one of us should be passing on this faith to other people, living this faith in front of other people, modeling this faith on how to live in front of other people. Could anything be any more important than passing on just the greatest news known to mankind? There's nothing more important than that. Passing on faith and mentoring other people and pouring into other people is hard work. It's difficult work. It was not easy for Paul to certainly do this. It requires time. If you're going to share your faith, if you're going to pour your life into other people, if you're going to mentor other people or disciple other people, it's going to require time of you. It will require vulnerability. It will require trust and acceptance that maybe that person will let you down at a later date as well. But I can't think of anything more valuable than restoring just in-person relationships. I can't think of anything more valuable in this world than to build relationships with people, because people matter. In her book, Reclaiming Conversation, Sherry Turkle wrote, Life on our new digital landscape challenges us as citizens. Although the web provides incomparable, when we are faced with a social problem that troubles us, we are tempted to retreat what I would call the online real. There we can choose to see only the people with whom we agree, and to share only the ideas we think our followers want to hear. What she's kind of getting at here is that sometimes we kind of settle for less. We kind of settle for maybe just an echo chamber where we are surrounding ourselves with people that agree with us. But it's important to invest in people at your work, at your school, at your home. These people matter. A conversation with just a handful of people face to face could be more valuable than what you might imagine. I think I'm realizing this the more and more as I grow older. People matter. Relationships matter. Friendships matter just a great deal in life. And so one of the greatest things that you can do with your life is pass on the gospel to other people. Share the gospel with other people. Model that in front of other people as well. People are worth an investment. Number three, Paul tells Timothy that he wants him to endure hardship for the gospel. Endure hardship for the gospel. And he gives him these three simple but powerful pictures: the soldier, an athlete, and the farmer. And I want us to start with the first one there in verse 3 through 4. He starts with the soldier. Paul is most certainly familiar with the soldier. He's in prison. He's meeting soldiers day to day. And so he most certainly knows how Roman soldiers operate. And he kind of notes how a good soldier is known for just their focus, their willingness to suffer for a greater cause. And he tells Timothy there in verse 3, I want you as a good soldier to endure hardship. And he tells Timothy this because suffering and hardship are part of the normal everyday Christian life. I've always thought that one of the greatest jobs could be one that I think his name is Guy Ferrari has on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It's a great show. He gets to drive around in a cool car. He gets to go to all these really nice restaurants, and I'm getting hungry just thinking about the show. It's a great show. And I'm thinking, there's really not a bad part about that job. I mean, he really gets to try a lot of neat things. But the job that you and I have as a Christian involves a little bit more burden bearing, does it not? We get weary. We get tired. Sometimes we endure criticism from others who maybe don't understand our increasingly odd views of human sexuality. Sometimes we endure battle of just unbelief in our own hearts. Christ has called us to endure for this gospel. It's not a walk in the park, but it's by the grace that is in Jesus that we are called to put a helmet on and to stay in this battle until he says that the war is over. Paul adds in verse 4, he says that this good soldier does not entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life. Now don't miss this picture here. It is soldiers that live with the awareness that there is a battle going on, and they don't have time to mess with little issues. Now, Paul is not calling us just to neglect little issues that could probably rise up to bigger issues. He's not calling us to rather not have a time of rest either, but rather, I think Paul's getting at here that we should always have our eyes fixed on the mission, fixed on the goal. How easy is it for you and I to get distracted by things that just simply do not matter at all? And some questions maybe just for reflection as we kind of think about what Paul is talking about here in verse 4. Are any good things keeping me from doing the main things? Are any good things keeping me from doing the main things? Or maybe is your entanglement in something keeping you from making disciples? And so he gives this example of a soldier, and he says how they don't really get caught up on those things. They have an awareness of dealing with certain issues, but not really pausing for those issues as well. Secondly, it gives us the image of an athlete. Paul once again gives us a picture of someone that he's probably familiar with. He was a tent maker by trade, so he's probably involved, or he's been around Greek games during this day as well. And every sport, he says, that the athlete must compete according to the rules. If he or she is going to be crowned, they have to follow by the rules. If Paul were alive today, he would have probably added some contemporary methods of cheating that some of those have used today. And to be a winner in any sport, you must play by the rules. If you're going to be crowned, you must play by the rules. There are no shortcuts. It requires discipline. I love what a professor of mine at the seminary said one time. He said, it is better to be consistently good than occasionally great. It's better to be consistently good, following the rules, being faithful in obedience, because it is that that is rewarded in this life. And so understand that Paul is not talking about simply keeping rules to earn your salvation. No, he's talking about the desire of just every true believer to walk in holiness, to walk in godliness in light of this grace. As believers, we have rules to live by. We find that in God's Word. And so if athletes can train for Super Bowl rings or Stanley Cups or pennants, how much more should you and I train for holiness that has eternal significance in this world? The last image that we get is that of a hardworking farmer there in verse 6. Just as with soldiers and athletes, farmers, they cannot take any shortcuts either. They have to work hard every day. But there's a difference between a farmer and the other two examples that Paul has given here. He gives us the example of a soldier and an athlete and a farmer. I think the difference that a farmer has from a soldier or an athlete is that not a lot of people notice the work that a farmer does. Notice that the farmer has to be disciplined in what he's doing, but he doesn't really have a fan base cheering him on. The farmer doesn't call a press conference after he has just fed the cattle. Nobody gives him a trophy after he puts up a fence or anything like that. But he continually does his work day in and day out. He gets up early. He works the field. He cares for his animals. And sometimes nobody ever notices. And he's still devoted to his work. This is a wonderful picture of what Christian ministry looks like. Friends, understand, and this is so refreshing and encouraging, what Paul is telling us, that God is pleased just to use ordinary people, ordinary conversations, and oftentimes unnoticed work to do the most heavy lifting in his kingdom. He loves to use ordinary people, ordinary conversations, and just unnoticed work that nobody may notice in your life to do the majority of his heavy lifting in his kingdom. The farmer often gets to enjoy some of the fruit of his labor too. He gets to see sometimes firsthand the rewards of his labor. And so there are tremendous blessings in just seeing some of the rewards maybe of our own labor too. I love it when I hear of others maybe sharing their faith, or maybe others that are pursuing godliness in an area that they are struggling with. That is so encouraging when I hear that from other believers. Paul concludes really all of these examples there in verse 7. He says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. He again closes that by saying, focus on the Word. The Lord will give you understanding in all of these areas. The last really challenge, the last really responsibility that you and I have is that we want to remember the champion of the gospel. Remember the one who has championed all of these areas. In verse 8 through 13, he tells Timothy there in verse 8, I want you to remember Jesus Christ. Now, after reading a verse like this, I don't want to read into the text, but when I first read it, I'm thinking, well, that shouldn't be hard to do. That sort of statement may be unnecessary, but we can forget him, can we not? It's easy to do. Memory plays a very important role in our lives. The nation of Israel suffered a great deal because they forgot God. And they fell into idolatry. There are countless examples of those in church history that forgot the person and work of Christ, and they fell away from influence. And so we don't want to be too naive in believing that the same mistake just can't happen to us. Christ should be our central and main focus of everything that we do. So how do we remember Christ? Well, Paul gives us a great way to do that there in verse 8. He says, remembering Jesus involves really keeping both his person and his work central. Notice what he says there in verse 8. He says, Christ is risen from the dead and he's descended from David. Notice what he's talking about here. Paul says that Jesus is both human and God. He's focusing on just the person of Christ, who he is. But then he affirms the work that he has done on the cross. He talks about how he rose from the grave, he conquered our enemies, and now he sits at the Father's right hand. So just focusing on who Christ is and what he has done, that's how we remember him. Remember tonight that if you're discouraged or if you're feeling weary or if your tank is empty, remember that there is an empty tomb and that there is a throne that is comfortably occupied by the person of Jesus Christ because of the work that he has done as well. He kind of closes this section out. Notice there and how he closes in verse 12 and 13. He closes with just a probably a popular saying during his day, most likely a hymn that was used in this church as well. And there many different things that we can pull from just verse 12 and verse 13. But I love the last statement there of verse 13. He says, he cannot deny himself. God can never act against his nature. He's faithful. He is the God of both mercy and justice. He never changes. And so this is encouraging for us tonight. As we read about how God is faithful to Timothy, he's been faithful to Paul, he's faithful to us here tonight as well. So really, in conclusion tonight, as we think about these themes, as we think about living in light of the gospel, passing the gospel on, we think about these themes that Paul is talking about, the soldier, an athlete, a farmer, enduring hardship, we remember the champion of the gospel as well. And this is really good news as we get closer to Christmas. Advent is a perfect medicine for someone who wants to be a good soldier. Advent is the perfect medicine for someone who wants to be a good athlete or a good farmer for the Lord. You see, being a good soldier for the Lord can make you weary. It can keep you up at night. The depravity that we see in our world can really make us weary. But it's Advent that is only 2 weeks away from today that we celebrate. It comes rushing in with hope and power. I love what the song says. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. We sung a song tonight, Who Would Have Dreamed, where it said, he will carry our curse and it's death that he'll reverse so that you and I can be sons and daughters of God. It reminds us that we serve a God who really humbled himself to come and save us. It was Jesus who left his heavenly home to be born and to lay in just a very common feeding trough. And so it's through Advent that he asks us to hope in him again. Because one day, he's already come, but he's coming back again. In the meantime, as we wait for his second return, it's my prayer tonight that we live in light of the gospel, we pass this gospel on, and that we also endure hardship for the gospel as well. Let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you for this gospel that somehow, some way, has made it from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, all the way to Tippett's Chapel, and we sing about it, and we teach about it, and we talk about it amongst ourselves. And Father, I pray that we do not let it die with us. I pray that we live in light of this gospel. I pray that we pass and share this gospel on. I pray that You help us endure for the gospel, like a good soldier, like an athlete, like a farmer. And Father, in the meantime, as we wait your return, your second return, I pray that we keep our eyes fixed on you, because you are the champion of this gospel. You are the founder and perfecter of our faith. And I pray that we keep our eyes fixed on you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.